Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen.
Ooh, why don't you have a seat? Have a seat. But woo-hoo. Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning.
Yeah.
Woo.
What an awesome time. I know. Thank you so much to our worship team for setting the stage for us, for God to move today. We're so excited. We so appreciate all they do.
Hey, thanks for being here. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey. I'm the lead pastor here. This is my incredible wife, Danielle.
Aww.
And you can clap for
thank
her.
You. Appreciate the love.
And if you were here last week, you heard me say, man, I love getting to preach. It's one of my favorite things, but it only gets better when I get to share the stage with her. And we even decided to dress her like this morning.
You can tell them.
I got dressed
yeah,
first.
Yeah, you did. The problem was I hate to iron, and I have like a stack this big, and so I had limited choices, so that's okay. You don't care. They don't care what we're wearing.
They don't care at
no,
all.
At all. No.
Hey, we are pumped. You're here. Pumped for joining us online.
Yes.
We are nearing the end of a series we've been in all summer, and I apologize. I do not have COVID. I'm fully vaccinated, but I got a bit of a
summer cold,
a little summer sniffle, and
exactly.
So we're gonna get through this together, all right? So we're wrapping up a series next few weeks. We've been in all summer, called Fruit Forward, and if you haven't been here, we've been talking about something Christians call the fruit of the Spirit, and these are specific traits that God himself promises us when we become Christians, and we call them the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The reason we've been talking about these all summer is because who doesn't want a life full of those things? It makes life better for us, and it also makes life better for the people that we know. It makes it easier to talk about Jesus with other people, makes it easier to bless other people. And so we've been learning how to live a life full and forward of the fruit that God gives us. And so today, last week we taught on self-control because we kind of needed to tag team self-control. Today, the fruit we're teaching on is more so I needed help because she is just so full of this one. If you've ever met her, I'll just go ahead and tell you, we're talking about kindness today. And if you have ever met my wife, I mean, she just overflows with kindness. That's how combined we're a kind couple.
It's that's
because
not
she
true.
She brings it so much. And so we're excited to talk about this fruit today that is so prevalent in our society right now. We talk about it all the time.
Yes.
So let's talk about kind. And last week we talked about a time where Danielle lost self-control. So we're going to open today with a time when she was very unkind.
No, I didn't. No, that is not the tone I want to set at all.
We're not doing that.
No, thank goodness. That's the opposite of
there's no such thing as you being unkind.
No, that's not true. There are some times. But I did, when we were preparing this message, one of the things that God really just sort of kept bringing to mind was times when people were kind to us. We all love it when people are kind to us. And we've been in church and in ministry our entire married life. And so we have so many stories of people just displaying true kindness to us. But
because we know everyone in church is always kind.
No,
right?
But there are not everybody, but
got some laughs.
Most
yeah.
people.
Some of you grew up in church.
Forward.
So you know.
But there is a specific time that God brought to mind for me, because it was a scary time in our life. We were in Texas. We moved there right after we got married. We'd only been married for about 4 years. Gosh, that seems like such a solid amount of time. And we had, David, our oldest child. He was 2 at the time. And I was very pregnant with our middle son, John. And Trey was full-time on staff at a church there. And he was in the process of getting, it was a church that we planted that we started there. And he was in the process of getting us into their Help Start that church. And he was in the process of getting us into our first permanent location, which was this big building project that he was in charge of. And we had just been through a lot in that season. I had suffered 2 miscarriages before John, and my pregnancy with him was very medically scary. I was on bed rest twice, and he was working about 45 minutes away. And so the amount of time I was spending at home where he couldn't help was a lot. It was a lot. And it was just a very scary season. We didn't have any family in Texas. And there were just a lot of stress going on in that season. And a girl in our church, a friend of mine, her name is Diane Bohannon. I never said anything to Diane about all the stressors we had going on in our life. But I noticed the second time I was on bed rest, she just started showing up at my house at about 9 to 10 a.m. every single day. She had two young boys, and she would just knock on the door and come in. She would take David and let him play with the kids. I started noticing she made sure I had lunch at some point that day, which was something that's hard to do when you're on bed rest and you have a two-year-old, and he was leaving at 6 a.m. in the morning. She would she would change out our laundry as she was there, and she did this for weeks. She just showed up at our house while I was on bed rest and took care of just about 2 hours every day. She took care of us. She was just kind. And during that scary season, looking back now, John's a healthy 13-year-old, and we have another son. While that season was scary, do you know what sticks out to me the most? Diane's kindness. That's what I remember. Because she just had, how we're going to define kindness, is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. I definitely, at that point in my life, was not good at telling people what I needed. I still struggle with that now in my 40s. But in my 20s, I would not tell people what I needed. She must have just known that I needed a little bit of kindness in my life. And I can't even begin to tell you how that changed that season for us. Because everybody wants kindness shown to them. And the little things and the big things in the most stressful seasons and in the seasons where you might even know you need it. That quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate is so important, and it can change your life.
It really can. I mean, no one pushes back on kindness.
Yeah.
We love kindness. We are moved by kindness. Our hearts are softened and opened when people are kind to us. Kindness is kind of a universal virtue. It's not just unique to Christians. I mean, the world right now is talking about kindness. We're encouraged to be kind. There's this quote that floats around the internet that says, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. And we put anonymous because like five people claim they made it up.
Yep, they all do. We searched and searched.
Like, oh, we don't know who made this up. So, but in a world where you can be anything, be kind. It's kind of hip to be kind. People talk about it. And so this thing that everybody loves, that is universally approved. Those of us that consider ourselves Christians, like the God of the universe, guarantees us this. Mm-hmm. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. He is fully ready and willing to put into our lives, which is this really, really kind of overwhelming thing that God gives us this. But if you're like me, a question probably starts coming up in your head. And it's this: if everyone loves kindness so much, and if I know how valuable kindness is, and I love it when I receive it, why are there moments, why are there seasons, why are there circumstances where I find it so difficult to be kind? Now, you may be looking at me like I'm an alien. You're like, Trey, I've never struggled to be kind. Good for you. Congratulations. The rest of us find from time to time that kindness does not flow out. And what I want to talk about today, what we want to talk about today, is why. Why can it be difficult for something we all love, we all wish we had, we all want to receive? Why is it sometimes difficult to be kind? And as we really thought and prayed about this, It occurred to us that kindness isn't really an act.
Yeah.
Kindness isn't really a skill. Kindness is an outpouring mm-hmm. of a belief system.
Yeah.
And so what we really want to talk about today, we want to go back from kindness for a moment, and we want to talk about some beliefs I have, some beliefs you might have, that we think that if we allow God to shape those beliefs more than we allow ourselves or the world or other people to shape those beliefs, we might find that it's more natural that that kindness we love, that kindness we desire, begins to flow out of us. And so it begins with a belief because, and Danny's going to talk about this more, what we believe shapes what we think, which shapes how we feel, which then shapes what we do.
Yes, and if you want to screenshot this, this formula God has used to change major parts of my heart and my life. It has the power to transform. That question you ask when you start going, why am I acting this way? What am I doing? Do you ever have that sort of self-reflection? What am I doing? Okay, well, it's probably because I'm feeling a certain way, which is because I'm thinking a certain way, which is because I am believing something that's probably not true. That formula right there can help us navigate these beliefs that we have that cause us to maybe act in an unkind way, in a way that we wouldn't normally. It might have you, you know, like yell at an umpire. If you missed last week, go back and check up.
If you weren't here last week, Danielle told a story about yelling. It was horrifying to me.
It was terrible.
An umpire. We have prayed daily for her.
I need it. You can pray daily for me. Or if you've ever looked at someone else and been like, why are they acting like that? Because what you believe in your heart, you will have a belief system of some sort. You may think, well, I don't believe anything, or I'm not sure what I believe. But you will have a belief system in some way. You will believe something. And it will affect what you think. And then that will affect how you feel. And then that is what you do. So if kindness is an outward, we're going to move backwards to our beliefs. And there are some beliefs about kindness that...
Yeah, there's really two fundamental beliefs that we're calling kindness killers. Nothing is going to kill kindness faster than these two simple beliefs. And we're going to basically talk about the belief, and then we're going to talk about what God says about that belief and how when we begin to choose to believe what God says rather than what we think and feel, then we can change our belief system, and then that kindness can flow out of us. The first thing, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but I promise it's true. The first thought, the first belief that can kill kindness faster than anything else is one about ourselves, and it's this: I'm not good enough. And you're like, well, hey, how in the world does that have anything to do with kindness? Well, people who tend to think they aren't good enough, naturally, in their souls, like me, I'm one of these people, we try harder to be good. And we develop practices and strategies because we convince ourselves if we ever get good enough, then we'll feel comfortable with ourselves. And that changes what we, because we believe that, it changes what we think, changes what we feel, changes how we do, changes how we act, changes how we speak to ourselves. I have found in my life when it's difficult for me to give kindness to other people, it's because I'm not being kind to myself.
Yeah.
It's because I don't think I'm good enough. I don't feel personally like I deserve kindness. I'm kind of confused about why God digs me. I'm not sure. You know, I kind of feel like God's up there looking at me saying, man, if you just get your act together, man, we could do good stuff. But what's wrong with you? And so the quickest thing that will kill kindness is a belief about ourselves that basically we don't deserve kindness. Because if you don't think you deserve kindness, you do not think anyone else deserves kindness either.
Yes, and I think about it like this. Basically, like, kindness is a mirror. It's a reflection of what you're thinking, what your thought process is, what you're believing, what you're feeling. So if you project out into the world the opposite of kindness, unkindness, meanness, it's normally because that's how you are talking to yourself. So if you're a student in the room, a good example for this, if you're a student in the room, if you have any friends that just sort of kind of talk trash, right? They're always, I don't even know the right word now. What's the cool word? I said smack. Is that not right? I don't know what it is. But anyway.
This is the 90s. They talk smack.
Okay, yeah. I don't know what it is. There's so many words. I can't keep up with it. So if you're one of those, you know, if you notice this about someone and you're just like, God, I can't stand being around them. They just, you know, I just feel like I have to defend myself all the time with them. They're always talking about how good they are and how bad I am. They're doing that because they feel very insecure about who they are. And the only way to overcome that is to make you smaller so they feel at least a tiny bit like they're good enough. Adults, we do the same thing. We just do it behind their back, and it's called gossip. It's what we do. We've learned that it's not cool to say it to their face, but we'll talk about them behind their backs. And it's to help us feel just a tiny bit better about ourselves. Because kindness is a mirror. It's a reflection of what we're believing and thinking and feeling and doing. Another way that this, I think, plays out a lot is if we're constantly, judging our bodies and putting ourselves down physically, we start doing that to other people. And we aren't comfortable in our own skin when we do that. And so we're walking around in this world feeling very insecure about this amazing gift that God's given us. And we're using it to project unkind things onto other people because we're feeling unkind about ourselves.
Let me interrupt real quick. It's a simple thing. When you're alone and you mess up, when you're alone and you make a wrong turn, when you're alone and you mess something up at work, when you're alone and what do you say to yourself in that moment? Because here's what I say to myself.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm going to clean it up. I know what's happening here. It's usually something like, you're the stupidest person on the planet. Why'd you do that? That is the natural way I talk to myself. And if that is the natural way you talk to yourself, that will be the way you talk to other people. Mm-hmm. And what I've had to learn in my life, because the Holy Spirit has whispered this to me over and over and over again, is when I talk about myself that way, the Holy Spirit will say, you're not going to talk about my child that way. Mm-hmm. The God of the universe is like, I'm not going to allow it. I don't know who you think you are, but you're not going to talk about my son that way. And so we can take it outside if you'd like. But here's the beautiful thing. We don't have to wonder what God thinks about us. He tells us. Specifically today, we're going to look at two different letters from this guy named Paul, who wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. And he would write letters to Christians, and we believe that God was literally speaking through Paul's pen when he wrote. And so 2,000 years later, we can read the letters, and it's like God speaking to us. And here's how God feels about us. In Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he says in chapter 2, we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago. See, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our mistakes. He doesn't see our flaws. He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see all the things we see. He sees his perfect creation. He sees his perfect masterpiece. And sometimes we're unkind because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us.
Yeah.
And how we see ourselves is how we're going to see the world.
Yeah. And that this is one of my favorite verses, and it's because it fits into that perfect formula that we looked about. What we believe is what we think, what we think is what we feel, and what we feel is what we do. Because we believe, the truth is that we are God's masterpiece. That is the truth, that you can believe that you are his prized creation on your worst days, on your best days, and everything in between. And when that is something that we submit in our hearts, that we know is true, then we are able to think that about ourselves and praise him for it. Thank you, God. And I'm going to think about the fact that I am a masterpiece. I am your masterpiece. You have created me to do good things. I have a good purpose. I'm going to think about that, which is going to make me feel like, well, gosh, I'm feeling pretty good about myself today. Look at me. I'm a masterpiece, right? And then what do? The good things. Kindness is a good thing. The things he's created us to do. That's one of the reasons I love this verse, because it answers that struggle we have with, well, why am I acting this way? Why am I being so unkind? Why am I snapping at everybody? That's my best way to kind of cover it, is I'm just snappy today, you know? And I do get snappy. I do, yes. but it's because this is the answer. That you submit in your heart who you know God says you are. That you think about that more than you think about what anyone else is saying to you. You allow that to change how you feel, and then kindness will pour out of you.
Yeah, and so sometimes the kindness killer is we don't think we're good enough. But sometimes the kindness killer is when we have this thought, I'm more important. Mm. You know what kills kindness quicker than anything else? When you think you're more important than the person you're being tasked with being kind with. Mm-hmm. And you're all looking at me like, well, I don't ever think I'm more important than anyone. All right, what happens when the waiter gets your order wrong the fourth time?
Mm. That is something we live out all the time right now, right? Why is it taking so long?
You know what happens? You decide your time, I decide my time, my energy is more important than their humanity, and I become unkind. I will tell you a story about myself that's embarrassing. This was probably around that same time period. We had flown back to Myrtle Beach for Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, and the airline lost our luggage. And so we sit at the Myrtle Beach airport forever. They didn't have any answers. I get home. I'm tired. I'm very frustrated. And I call customer service, and they have no answers whatsoever. And I'm like, where's my bag? Sir, we don't know enough. Where's my bag? Sir, and I'm just like, I don't care. Where's my bag? And literally, one of my family members came up. They're like, you have to stop. But what happens is, in that moment, this happens so much. Yeah, when we're out in the world, people who are doing their jobs, if you're talking to people on you know, customer service, you have to call in and make a complaint. We convince ourselves, no, I'm right, and I'm more important. I paid for this. I have a right to this. This is mine. And they're stopping me, and so I don't want to know what their name is. I don't want to think about their family. I don't want to think about that this is their job. I don't want to think about their humanity. I want what I want, and I'm more important in this moment, and so I'm going to get it. And we would never in a million years label that what it actually is. But luckily for us, we don't have to wonder. Because in another letter Paul wrote to the Philippians, he describes exactly what it means when we convince ourselves I'm more important than other people. Here's what Paul says. Don't be selfish. Because that's exactly what it is. Now, we don't call it selfish. I'm not a selfish person. I don't think I'm selfish. I wasn't screaming about my luggage. I was trying to get her luggage.
I just wanted to go shopping and get new clothes. I didn't care.
But that's what happens. When we decide in any given situation, I'm more important, selfishness is what comes. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the answer to that? Do not try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. So it's fascinating. The antidote to thinking I'm not good enough is to understand, no, God says you're a masterpiece. But the antidote to thinking I'm super important in this situation is to remember, no, God thinks they're a masterpiece too.
Yeah.
See, God loves them too. God created them as well. And so what he's inviting us into is to walk in humility, to be humble. And there's a definition by this guy named C.S. Lewis. He was a famous Christian author. And it's probably my favorite definition of humility because it puts it so clearly. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not devaluing yourself. It's simply thinking of yourself less. Mm-hmm. Because when you think of yourself less, you know what you have more space for? To think of God and others more. Mm-hmm. Which, fascinating enough, is exactly what Paul tells us to do. He doesn't just stop with, hey, don't be selfish, be humble. He tells us how. In verse 4, he says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. He says too. He doesn't say you have to constantly, everyone else is always right and your eyes wrong. He's not saying roll over. He's saying, hey, situations where there's going to be tension, in situations where you may not be getting what you want, in situations where your natural inclination is to say, hey, I'm more important, think about the fact that they're humans too. Here's a trick. It doesn't work 100% of the time. But here's a trick I've learned when I have to make a customer service call or something like that, and I know it might get anxious. I try instantly when they say hello, I say, hey, my name's Trey Kelly. What's your name? And I try to get them to tell me, how are you doing today? How's your day? And that's not for them. That's for me. That's to remind myself this is a living, breathing human person on the other line who has no control over whatever issue it is that's bothering me in this moment. They're looking at a computer screen. They're reading a script. They can't fix it. This is just the game you have to play to get to the person who can. And so in that moment, it's just a little trick I've taught myself to try to think less of myself and to think more of them, unless you think I'm saying, what a good thing I do. No. It's not about me. That's what Paul says. The reason we should do this, he explains in verse 5. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Mm-hmm. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Jesus himself did not think of himself first. Here's what Paul says. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You know, it really does when you step back, especially for any of us in the room who consider ourselves Christians, consider ourselves Christ followers, to be in a situation representing Christ, which, by the way, if you're a Christian, that's all situations, and to walk into that situation and take the posture, I'm more important, I matter more, is just simply a misunderstanding of who Jesus was and what Jesus did. Because when we fully process the fact that the God of the universe humbled himself for us, the only reasonable, rational response is, oh, well, then I myself can also do that for other people. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of land this plane. What are two steps to kindness? If there were two thoughts, we're going to have two steps. Okay, and step number one is going to be very simple. Step number one, we're going to fix our thoughts.
Yeah.
We're going to ask God to make us aware of the beliefs we're carrying into situations. We're going to ask God to make us aware. Man, God, am I struggling with how I see myself? Am I simply reflecting to other people how I talk to myself? God, I'm going to ask you to fix that thought. I'm going to ask you to help me see myself like you see me. Or is you think about kindness in your life and where maybe you miss the mark a little bit, is yours more in interactions with other people because you've allowed yourself to believe you're more important? And there again, hey, God, help fix my thoughts on this. Help remind me that my calling is to value other people and to think about other people and to represent you even in this situation. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to take some time on your parts today or this week to sit, really, really think about this. If you have the guts, ask people closest to you. Ask your spouse. Ask your best friends. Ask your employees. Ask your coworkers. Hey, am I kind or not? If you give them permission, they'll tell you. And I always say this, if you answer the question, you have to ask it back. All right? Well, you can't say, no, you're not. What do you want to know about yourself? I do not. It has to be.
That's not kind.
No, it has to go both ways. But that's how we're going to fix our thoughts. We're going to invite God in and say,
yes.
Hey, am I thinking something wrong about me? Or am I valuing myself more? But not only are we going to ask God to fix our thoughts, one of the ways he's going to do that is step number two. We're going to ask God to open our eyes.
Yeah. Asking God to open your eyes to what's going on around you when you have that submitted, knowing who you are in him, will change your life. Just ask him to help you notice. Notice if someone's being unkind to you, that they probably have some things they're believing and thinking and feeling that's causing them to do that. Ask God to help you notice that. Ask God to help you notice people suffering around you. My friend Diane, I know I never said anything to her. She just noticed that I was really not in a good place. She never even asked. She just showed up and was kind. And this goes for people inside your own home as well. Sometimes it's so easy to think that we've, you know, you're just kind to the people in the outside world. You know, do a random act of kindness. How about an intentional act of kindness for someone in your home that you love? If you're a sibling and you still live with your parents, be kind to your siblings. It would make your parents weak. If you're in a marriage and you're struggling, did you know, truly, psychologists have found, Trey actually taught on this in February, if you're married, psychologists have found that kindness is the one ingredient or one of the ingredients for a successful marriage.
It's the number one indicator if couples are going to stay together or not. Are they kind to each other? The kinder they are to each other, the likelier it is they'll stay together.
Friendly, generous, and considerate. Are you just kind? Before you start thinking about pouring it out into the world and paying for somebody's Dunkin' Donuts coffee behind you, start in your own house. Take someone in your own home a cup of coffee and just tell them that you love them. Celebrate who they are for just being a masterpiece. Start in your own home. Another way to be kind and ask God to open our eyes is to maybe just tell the truth in a gentle way. Being kind doesn't mean you have to just pretend like there are no problems in relationships or in the world or in your workplace, but it does mean that you can tell the truth in a very gentle way, in a way that respects the human on the other side of that. I'm so proud of how he handles service customer people now. I used to walk out of the room and go to the other end of the house because it would make me so uncomfortable. But God's changed his heart, and it's just noticing their humanness on the other side of the telephone line, you know? It's also just wholeheartedly celebrating someone's success. Maybe even someone that's a competitor in your field. Can you humble yourself enough just to say, I am so excited for how you're succeeding? It will unleash something in you to say, I can celebrate you without thinking negatively of myself, without feeling like I'm losing something. I can celebrate you because I know who I am and nothing will ever change that, success or failure, good days or bad days. There are so many ways to be kind. We just have to ask God to open our eyes.
Yeah, we were back in Texas. The church Danielle and I attended together before we started Keystone. That's actually where we met Colquitt. That's where we met Beth and TJ. There was this amazing volunteer couple there, Jim and Jan Frankie.
Yes.
And they were just these amazing people, very successful in the corporate world, and just overflowed with kindness. And they ran our Sunday school department. We went to a Baptist church and we still had Sunday school. And pretty soon after we were there, we kind of started volunteering and helping, and they kind of helped run the whole thing. But one of the biggest things they ran was kind of the first impressions when people would walk in the door, the welcome team and all that kind of stuff, making people feel comfortable. And they had a phrase they always used, and I still think about it. They taught all of us when we were in that environment to have our ministry eyes open. Mm-hmm. They were constantly talking about ministry eyes, meaning I know there may be a friend there you haven't seen in a week. You can talk to them later. Right now, your job is to have ministry eyes, looking for new people, looking for people whose body language indicates they might be a little uncomfortable. They might be a little sad. They might be a little hurt. They might be struggling this week. It was those ministry eyes that when we asked God to open to them, allowed us to simply step in to someone who has come to church, by the way, so they're looking for something. And it was just that phrase, those ministry eyes that opened our hearts to looking for ways to be intentionally kind to people. Because here's the thing, when you ask God to open your eyes to people, yes, who need kindness, he's going to open your eyes to people who need kindness. Mm-hmm. Because this is a fruit of the Spirit that he is ready to flow out of us. So here's your challenge this week, and we're done. Your challenge today is to truly begin thinking, do I need to fix my thoughts? Do I need to open my eyes? And to decide today that tomorrow and for every day this week, you're going to do one intentionally kind thing, mm-hmm, for someone. And you're not going to brag about it. You know, you're just going to keep it to yourself or your friends or whatever. But ask God to give you the ability to be intentionally kind, to be kind in His name, just for a week. And you are going to be blown away, number one, at how you feel about yourself, because you're communicating with your Heavenly Father, and He's reminding you you're a masterpiece, that He's created to do good things. And as you open your eyes and see other people and you learn their stories and you learn their struggles, and God begins to use you to step into their moments and to be kind to them and to bless them, you're going to want to open your eyes more. Mm-hmm. You're going to find, man, God, this is amazing. I had no idea you could use me this way. And kindness begets kindness begets kindness. So that's your challenge. Our challenge is to begin a wave of kindness out there, but it begins right now.
Yeah.
With two simple steps, inviting God in to fix our thoughts and inviting God in to open our eyes. Mm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. And God, we're just so thankful for your Son. We're so thankful for the love He gives. We're so thankful for all the fruit that your Holy Spirit wants to pour out in us. God, I pray today as we leave this place that you will begin even now to fix our thoughts. Maybe we be reminded of how you see us and how you see the world. And Father, as you fix our thoughts, please open our eyes. May we become aware of other people, of their humanity, of their struggles, of their need for your love and your kindness. Father, as you fix our thoughts and as you open our eyes, may we find it so easy to step into that moment and give the kindness that you so freely give to us. We love you. We thank you. That's in your Son's amazing holy name we pray.